Morning, TCC. I'm so glad you're with us here. Week 3 of the book of Colossians. It is church online, and I know we're excited about it. Home together, spending time with family as we get into the Word of God today. And we are going to dive right into it. We are in week 3. We've spent the last couple weeks diving into the first two chapters of Colossians, and we're going to pick it up in Colossians chapter 3 today, starting in verse 1. And it says this: "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So we are here today as Paul is talking to the Colossian church, helping them tear down some ideologies they had about Jesus, and it wasn't just about Jesus for them. They were adding other types of philosophies into their relationship with Christ, thinking that they had to add those in to make it a full experience. But as my wife so articulately talked about last week, how it really is Jesus only, or Jesus alone. Jesus alone is our source of strength. He is sufficient. The sacrifice was made. The debt was paid. Nothing has to be added to it. And now we have a mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Paul is trying to help them understand, don't have to add anything to your doctrine. Jesus is the only thing that you need. He is sufficient. And so when he is talking here in chapter 3, he says, "You have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above." Hey, turn your heart toward heaven. Turn your mind toward heaven. Stop looking toward earthly things in order to bring satisfaction to you. Know that it's in Jesus Christ alone that you're going to find full fulfillment. He said, "For you died." You died. Your life is now hidden. Hidden with Christ in God. And so you died. Remember when your life was not in Christ and how it was. How your thoughts were futile. How your mind was confused, how you thought you were doing good. You might have had this mindset, well, I'm doing good, so I must be good, or I must be religious because I'm doing good things. And I know that hopefully one day God will let me in because of my good works. And it's not until you got saved that you realized it had nothing to do with works. It had everything to do with the grace of God. The Bible says that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, so no man can boast." And so you might have been able to boast in yourself before Christ because of your accomplishments and who you were. But when you gave your life over to Jesus, he dispels that ideology of being an idol. And he says, everyone's on the same playing field. It's not about works. It's not about how good you look. It's not about how well you do. I don't look at that. What I do look at is my grace that is sufficient and that extended it toward you for salvation, recognizing that's not of works because I did the work. There was impossible for you to do the work. You could not get to me. There was a gulf. There was a separation that was there because of sin. And as a result of that sin, there was no way for you to be redeemed. And so I had to come down, step out of heaven, lay down my life for you, and redeem you because of my sacrifice. So in that, you can't boast in your salvation. You can't. And so that's why the Bible talks about having a sober mind or being of sober judgment. So you can have a level head about your life, know where you came from, and know who you are now. Now, it doesn't mean we stay stuck back into our old way of life because old things are gone. All things have become new. We're new creations in Christ. We are not stuck back into old patterns of our sin nature or old habits. We don't have to stay back there because we have a new nature. But we do remember when our life was like without Christ. And that in itself should give you just a new perspective on turning your heart toward heaven and the way your life is now because of the peace you have now in your life. When you realize that, hey, there was nothing I could do, and there's nothing I can do to make myself more righteous. It's because of what Jesus Christ has already done for me that makes me righteous. And he says, listen, turn your hearts, turn your minds toward heaven. And maybe you're here today and you're listening and you're having a real struggle with your thought life, your thought patterns, and you're reverting back to old patterns of the way you used to live, and it's a struggle for you, and the struggle is real, and you're having a hard time deciphering whether or not God is pleased with you because of your thought process. And I'm here to tell you today that God is pleased with you because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Now, God does want to deal with things in our life that may be contrary to his word, and that's where the struggle and that's where the battle comes in. And Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He says, in order for you to get your mind right and to get yourself out of that pit that you're in, is that you have to begin to think differently. Think differently. Think about things that are right and true. And maybe for you that's a struggle because you're trying to find truth. The truth of it is, if you're a Christian, Jesus Christ has saved you, sanctified you, set you apart, given you a new name, and you are now a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That in itself should encourage you to know that I've been adopted into the family of God because of Jesus Christ. And in that, I have a new hope and I have a new future. And I can think on things above. I can think on things that are above my situation now. My situation might say, there's no hope. You're not getting out of this. But I know as a Christian, I always have hope because of who Jesus Christ is. There is no situation that is without hope here today. Don't allow the enemy to tell you that it's over. The bell has rung. There's no chance for you to get up off the mat. That is a lie, because as long as you have Jesus, you know that you have a hope, and that hope doesn't disappoint. It's always active, always active. We just have to tap into that and turn to things that are true, turn to things that are right, and that line up with the way God feels about us and the truth of God's character. Because God does not lie. God cannot lie. God is good. He is good all the time. Well, what does that mean? I'm experiencing some hardship in my life. Welcome to life. Welcome. But it doesn't have to dictate the way you live your life, because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that changes everything. The game has been changed because of Jesus. I can now walk with my head held high, knowing who Jesus Christ is, knowing that he's going to work out all things according to his good plan and his good purpose for my life, because all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. He says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Hey, listen, if anything is worth praising and excellent, think about that. Think about that. Think about the good things that are happening in your life right now. Right now. Sometimes we got to work through it. We got to work through it. We're not seeing the life or the breakthrough that we want to see in our life because we know that, hey, there's more to this. We're not seeing it. And sometimes we got to work through it. I've got this Airdyne bike here, and it's something that we use here at C3 Athletics to really help us exercise and get our sweat on, as we would say in the workout world. And this Airdyne bike is built for resistance. And so as you begin to pedal on this bike, and the great thing about this bike is as you do pedal, air does come up through to help you breathe better. But it's not an easy bike to pedal. I have to use some force in order to pedal through it. And the goal for me is to strengthen myself, so that not only do I help my cardiorespiratory system, but I build up endurance, and I'm also building up resistance as I'm pedaling on this bike. And so you'll see that the faster that I go, the more that I'm working, and the more that I see the needle here go up. And so the more effort that I put in, the more I'm working, the more I'm going to sweat, and the healthier I'm going to feel in my body. And it's the same way in our Christian walk. We've got to work through some stuff until we see the breakthrough. We know that God is good. We know that God has good plans for us. We know that He doesn't lie. But we've got to work through those faulty thought processes in our life that keep us held back from really experiencing the life of God. And for us, that means that we might have to start taking inventory of our life and say, what is it about me right now that's robbing my joy? Is it the fact that, okay, I'm not realizing that I'm not in control? Number one, God's in control. And so when things happen in my life, I know that God's doing it for a reason. Now, there are some things that I do by choice that may not be God's best for me, but God's grace is sufficient that He can work it out, and it eventually works out for my good because I'm learning and I'm growing in my faith walk. And we have to do that inventory. And so it's an out of control thing maybe for you. Maybe it's an unforgiveness thing. You're having a hard time forgiving. You're having a hard time forgiving yourself for some of the roles that you've played in the circumstances that you have in your life right now. And you're having a hard time getting past the fact that if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be here. And we can go on that cycle all day, but we have to be very careful, because if we do that, we can get ourselves into a place and position of where we lose our joy, we lose our peace, because ultimately we have to leave our life in God's hands and not try to take our life back ourselves to try to fix every mistake in our life. And that's impossible. That's impossible. Maybe it's a sober judgment thing for you, where you've elevated yourself to a position where you have to be perfect all the time. And you don't realize that you're not perfect, you're growing. God just wants you to be you. And you need to take yourself off the pedestal, put God on the pedestal, and then that exchange will help you live a little bit more freer, because you know that God's grace was sufficient then, it is now, and it will be, and that you're a better person today, and that God is working out His plan and purpose in spite of you and in spite of your circumstances. God is still good. I believe that God will get you to your destination regardless of some of the mistakes that you made, because He's that good. He's able to take things that we do, cause them to work together for our benefit, so that we can be the people of God that He's called us to be and do the things that He's called us to do. And so don't beat yourself up over those things. Maybe you have to work through some fear. You got to work through it till it breaks. And what it is as you get down to it, you realize that, you know what it is? I'm just not trusting that God is good and that He's big enough to take care of me. And you're having a hard time with God being your Father and knowing that He wants to provide for you in every area of your life. And you have to get down and work through that. You've heard it, you know it, you've seen God be good, but for whatever reason now, you're having second thoughts about whether or not He's going to come through for you. And I can tell you this about God, is that God will always come through for you. However, He will not always come through for you in the manner that He came through for you before, because that's not faith. God does not do the same thing over and over again, because you're in a relationship with Him and He's showing you different things about who He is and how He comes through. God's going to do something different in this season of your life as opposed to the way He did it last season, because that's faith. If God came through every single time the same way, we wouldn't need faith, would we? We wouldn't need it. Because we knew that, well, God's going to come through, yeah. But we wouldn't need faith in to the degree that we need now, because the Bible talks about us going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So there are different levels of faith that God wants us to get through. That's why I believe that God does things and comes through in different ways. And that can be unsettling for you, because you're trying to think about how God came through for you back then and thinking that, well, He's going to do the same thing now. And that's just not happening for you. Not happening. He fed Elijah by a brook with a raven, but he didn't do that for the rest of Elijah's life. He only did it for a season. And God will do that for a season for you. He'll provide for you certain things that you need in that season, but when that season's over, God says, okay, my grace is sufficient. It's up now. It's time for you to move on to this next season where my grace will be different. That's this journey. That's the beauty of the walk that we're in as Christians. God takes us through different seasons, and we're on different journeys, and God comes through in different ways. But we got to work through it. We got to work through some of that stuff in our life that's causing us to stay stuck or get paralyzed because we're so confused and we're so wrapped up and tied up in our mind as far as, well, is God really good? Did God really say I can have these things? And God hasn't changed. God says you can have good things, that he's going to perform his will, but he just might do it in a different way that you're expecting. And because that is the case, sometimes we have a hard time stepping with him. And the Bible talks about us keeping in step with the Spirit. Sometimes it's hard for us to keep in step with the Spirit because we don't know what the next step is for us. We're just taking steps. And we're wondering whether or not God's going to come through or not. God does come through, but your faith is being built. It's being built. Remember when God came through for you. Work through it in this season. Work through it now. Why am I feeling this way now? And then allow the Holy Spirit to help you sift through that stuff and get back on your way. God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't forgotten you. He's moving you along like a good father does with his kids. He's just changing some stuff up. Changing some stuff up. And he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to do it. He created it. He created you. He knows how the world works. He knows how you work. And so don't try to look at the way God's doing something in the way God's doing it in somebody else's life as opposed to the way God wants to do it in your life. And it's okay for us to look and be encouraged by what God's doing in the world and what God's doing in someone else's life. But God is really concerned with you. 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 And so we've got to take our life back. We've got to take our mind back. Because for some of us, and honestly, all of us, the battle starts up here. But for some of us right now, we're losing that battle. We're losing it. But you have to get to a point where you say, no, I'm taking my mind back today. I'm taking my mind back. I'm going to take strides to make sure my relationship with God is growing and thriving, and that the Holy Spirit is helping me win in my mind, and that I continue to move forward little by little, step by step, as I'm taking ground in my mind. Because I promise you, as you begin to take ground in your mind, you'll begin to take ground in your life, and your life will have so much more meaning because you'll begin to understand that it came to give you life and give it to the full. Give it to the full. But we got to get untangled. We got to get untangled. We got to work through it. We got to work through it. Some years ago, when I was in youth ministry, we did this obstacle course with our kids of where we had four types of yarn and we tied the yarn into different points of the room where we were at. There were different colors and they were tied in all different types of ways and shapes, some knotted. And what we did is we split the kids up into teams. And as we split the kids up into teams, we gave them a certain amount of time to run to their color and to begin to unravel the yarn that was entangled in other colors. It just wasn't their color. It was entangled in other colors. So you would have blue into green, and green would be into red, and they had to get around each other, sometimes work over each other, in order to follow the trail of where their string was so that they can continue to move and make progress. And when we blow the whistle, they would stop, come back, and the next person would go, and that lasted till however it was until they got to the end and they found the end of their string and says, here it is. That's a lot the way life is. That's how life is. God is trying to get us out of entanglements, but unless we follow him and start in that process of untangling, we'll never make it to the end. And what that looks like is sometimes it means that you're going to have to step aside as other people are doing their work. You're going to have to move around them. The people aren't necessarily going to be out of the way. You're going to have to do it while you're with them. But you're going to have to keep your eyes on the prize, knowing at the end, my goal is to get this knot untangled so that my team can win. And God is interested in you winning and getting untangled from those things that so easily beset you so that you can actually run the race and get the prize. Run the race. But you've got to get in there and do the work with him. And that's the hard part, because sometimes it seems like God keeps untangling, and he's untangling because he wants you to finally get to a place in your life where the life of Christ is really showing through. And that means getting down and dealing with some roots and pulling up some stuff that don't need to be there, helping you deal for some stuff from your childhood, helping you get rid of some old habits, helping you grow up into manhood, women, helping you grow up into being a real woman and knowing what it is to live a fruitful life and to walk with Jesus Christ, to know that he's your source, he's your provider, Jesus alone, he's sufficient, he's the one. And so untangling you from all that stuff, families of origin stuff, things that have just got you unsettled, so that he can finally work with you and let you know that I have a plan and purpose for you, and I'm working my plan and purpose through you. We've got something we got to do, me and you. And so God separates us from those things and says we got to untangle, because I promise you, on the end of this, you're going to be running different, you're going to be feeling better, and the more of my life is going to be coming through to you. But let's get to work. And the sooner we start getting to work, the better we're going to be. Better we're going to be. And until, and we said this before, until you get sick of where you've been, you'll never want better. Never want better. And so maybe you're here today and you feel like, I'm just in a tight spot. I'm in a tight place. I'm not where I've been. I'm not where I want to be. I feel like I'm in the midst of change. God's doing some things, some tight spaces. Allow that process to take place and get untangled. Get unhooked from the things in this world that are holding you back. Holding you back so that you can move forward in God, knowing that you're a child of God. Now, you're a child of God. Child of God. And that God has great things for you. What does it look like for you? Well, how do I know when I'm getting better? You'll know. You'll know. How do I know when I'm getting to the root of the problem? You'll know, because it will reveal itself. It will reveal itself. The more I lean in Jesus, the more whatever is not truth comes up. And it exposes itself for what it is. And then you say, oh, you know what? That's what it is. Because as long as you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you're walking with Jesus, what happens is that unless we tap into the power that we have, we can even walk in deception as Christians. We can walk in deception and not walk in truth. Not walk in it. But as you continue to lean into him, what happens is that he reveals to you what it is. Oh, you know what? That's the truth. And what that does is that that helps you walk away from the lie, give you the strength that you need, so that next time you understand, now that's the lie, this is the truth, and you stay here. And that process takes place continually, continually. How many times, and think about your life, has God unhooked you or untangled you from stuff? You know, from some stuff. And honestly, from your own head. Just got you out of your head. Because you were killing yourself in the way you were thinking. And got you out of your head. And it freed you to actually move forward. Got you out of some stuff. Let's just be real honest about who Jesus is. About he saved you from you. Some relationships, some issues that you couldn't tell nobody about, went in and said, no, we're going to have to deal with this here because this thing is just killing you. If nothing else, to thank God for his goodness and not letting you collapse and not letting you falter and not letting you die before God actually brought you into what he has for you because of that. And God said, let's deal with that. Let's get that untangled so that when I bring you up, that you're actually up and you're free to be who I've called you to be. It will reveal itself. Some of you are on hold right now. And God, you're on hold and you don't feel like, what's going on? And God says, I'm just working on some stuff. I got you on hold. I'm just working on some stuff right now so that when you're ready to be revealed, guess what? You're going to be ready to be revealed. But I'm working on this stuff behind the scenes because it's beneficial for you and it's going to be beneficial for others. Because you know that when God does something in your life, He's not just doing it for you, He's doing it for other people. So that the grace of God actually also can be shown to them. So, if you're here today and God's freeing you and you're getting entangled, be excited about it. Be excited about it. Because you know that God has got something great for you in mind and in store, but it starts in your thinking. You've got to change your thinking. Philippians 4, read it. You might have to read it constantly. Change your thinking. Change your thought process. There's nothing good about me right now. That's a lie. There is something good about you. Okay? I'm not doing anything good. Yes, there is. Be careful not to go into self-loathing in the middle of you changing, because the enemy would like nothing more to keep you weighted down with that self-loathing so that you never rise to the occasion and appropriate the grace of God in your life the way it's supposed to be. The grace of God, you can't earn it. It's there so you can grow. It's there so that you can bear fruit. That's why it's there, to help you change. So I'm not taking it for granted. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace of God, because it's helping me endure and also overcome. Overcome. And allow it to help you work through what you got to work through so that you can finally see, yes, He is doing a great work. He is showing me what needs to be shown, and I'm seeing it. Hallelujah for setting me free. Hallelujah for giving me more power in my life so that I can know who I am in you. Because when I know who I am in you, guess what? Nothing can stop me. Nothing can stop me. No devil, no enemy, nothing can stop me because of who Jesus Christ is. Allow Him to get in. You're unstoppable today, but He just wants you to see it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time you've given us. Just the opportunity to talk about your word, the opportunity to talk about your grace and how sufficient it is, but also to know your heart for us when it comes to our thought process and being entangled. Thank you for untangling people today, helping them see more of the truth of who they are in you. And as they do that, it's going to free them to be what you've called them to be. Thank you for the work that you're doing right now, the progression that they're in. The enemy would not have an occasion to come in and bring accusation, and if he does, that people would rise up, know who they are in you, know that there isn't any condemnation, know that there is grace that is sufficient, and that you are completing the work, and that is a good work, and we can be excited about that today, and that in due time, you will reveal to us those things that are not truth, so that we can actually walk in truth, because we know that once we know the truth sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week.